Blog Talk Radio.
It's computer buffering. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp, October 14th through 2021. Hope wherever you're at, you're doing well. Good health, good spirits, good energy. Hope life is treating you well. Hope you, had a good week. Welcome to the off-ramp, a show for the people. You know, where the people make the show. Have folks call in, talk about the week's mathematics. See what's going on in these streets, see what's going on in your hood, my hood. See how the weather's been. Talk politics, race, sports, religion, crack some jokes, shed some tears. Have some good, honest conversation. And that's about it. So if you want to call in, 929-477-3975. You can catch us on all the Twitters and all that good stuff, even though I rarely check them. But, you know, you're always more than welcome to hit us up. We appreciate all the comments, likes, shares, hearts, all that stuff that makes teenage girls want to commit suicide. Feel free to always hit us up on there. Got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. I actually don't have a lot of stuff. DJC5, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
I'm here.
Uh-oh, you're not doing good?
How's it
going? Tough day at work?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, DJ C-Time just walked in the door. Didn't give me no kiss or nothing. Just gave me an evil look and went upstairs. So what I deal with nowadays.
You didn't yell at me.
I didn't yell at you. I yell on the football field. I don't yell at you. And how long have we been doing this? 12 years? 13 years? 30 years? How long has it? I haven't. I've only yelled at you one time.
Okay.
Are you disagreeing with that?
I haven't counted it.
No, I'm just saying. But welcome to the off-ramp, DJ T-Time. It's been a DJ C-Sign just walked in the door, so, and she's had a long week. We had a long weekend, man. Got a chance to go back to the CLT. Shout out to Charlotte. Spent some time down there this past weekend. Went and saw, my Eagles beat up on them Panthers, them little kitty cats. Had a good time. Love CLT. I lived in Charlotte for almost a year. Great city. Great, great city. I've always enjoyed myself there. A lot more bums than I remember. I'm not sure why there were so many bums there. I don't know if there was a lot of bums when I lived there. I just didn't know it because I was so much younger. A lot of bums. So shout out to the bum culture. I hope y'all are doing all right. I still don't understand if you're a bum while you live on the East Coast. Like, eventually, you'll, like, just start walking west. I guess you'll run into a mountain and you can get in trouble that way. But, you know, just be a bum where it's, like, good weather all the time. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to join the show. I think it might be a little bit socially irresponsible for you to encourage the bums to go west. Like, L.A. has a big bum problem. I think it's for that very reason. The weather is just so nice. Like, if you're going to be homeless anywhere, L.A. is probably the place to be homeless. But It you don't have to share the property. Like, they got, what'd you say?
It can't be socially irresponsible for me to tell bums to go live somewhere where they'll be comfortable.
I mean, the I guess the better advice would say find out a way to not be a bum. I know it's kind of like,
I mean,
the obvious thing,
but
it's like...
That's not part of the discussion. The discussion is if you're a bum.
Let's not say bum.
Is bum offensive?
These people are homeless. These people have no home.
What's wrong with the word bum now? I'm so out of, look, what's wrong with the world? Bum's not even, I can understand the word.
Not about the world. This is me. I feel like you just say bum. You said this is like, You do nothing in life. Some people had jobs. Some people fell in tough and they lost their hope. Now they have to live on the streets. You don't know. Saying a bum means they ain't got no, you know, they don't do nothing. They ain't got no education. They just broke and just live on the street. No. These people are like you and me. They just have tough times.
Well, I think there's a difference between being a homeless and being a bum, right? Like, don't you be homeless before you become a bum? Like, you're homeless, but I think you have to be homeless for a long time before you're officially a bum. Like, you in, you got the shopping cart, you got the thing with all your possessions just in one bag. Like, homeless might just be, I ain't got no home, but I got a car I can sleep in, or, you know, I'm couch surfing or something. Like, those people are homeless. Then you got the bums.
Hey, welcome to the off-ramp, old school. Hey, old school, is there is a bum a negative?
What's
going
bum,
on?
If I say a person's a bum, is it that a negative statement? Is that the question?
Well, he's actually trying to calling someone a bum is offensive, and I'm like, yo, if they're homeless. They're bums. I'm not even saying that I give bums money all the time. I'm not even saying it like in a derogatory sense. I just didn't know when that word became offensive.
Yeah, you know, everything became offensive nowadays, man. Kind of like playing on words. You call people a bum because they're just doing something lousy, and or not stepping up or doing their part. But in the wrong environment, saying it could be offensive to a person if they were homeless.
I mean anything, but I mean saying faggot in the right environment isn't offensive. Like if we're in Britain smoking cigarettes, if I
that's
say
a cigarette,
let me get
yeah,
a faggot,
yeah.
It's
wait,
not offensive.
Call it
so
fag
all words
or faggot. Like I thought it was just called a fag, like F-A-G.
Oh,
I think once you add the O-T to it, you change the word.
Oh, don't cancel me. I didn't know. That was just ignorance. I thought it was a faggot. It's a fag. I'm sorry.
You know what? I didn't go front, man. And also, I'm sorry to step on you. If I interrupted you, my bad. But I didn't go front. I'm socially conditioned. Like, even hearing you say the word, I cringed a little bit. I'm like, oh, wait, hold up. We still using that word? Like, you added the OT like people add the ER on nigga. Like, I'm like, certain words, like, I just cringed. Like, you said it twice, and I'm like, whoa.
You know, I hesitated to say it, too. I had to make sure I thought about it. I was like, let me say the right country because I don't want to get canceled either. Well, I don't mind getting canceled, but I don't want to get fired. Like, that's losing a job over a British cigarette.
You and John Gruden are going to be in line next to each other.
And then I'll be a bum. I'll be a bum. Way to bring it full circle. Way to bring it full circle. But no, I've always said that, you know, if you're going to be homeless, you know, be homeless in a good city. Like, I don't understand. Like, if Alaska has a homeless scene, they're just bugging. Like, you know what I mean? I don't understand why. I can understand why New York has a homeless scene, because if you're getting money from random people, it's so many people in New York. Like, there's probably – like probably, I don't know the real stats. I'm making stuff up. But if 3,000 people walk past you every day and you get a dollar from every other person, like you're making, you had a hell of a day for income. I don't know how many people carry cash nowadays, but there's so many people in New York that I would understand staying in New York and dealing with that weather. But, like, why be homeless in Denver? It's like 12 feet of snow.
As a matter of fact, it's snowing there now.
Right. You know, you might as well just take that. You just might as well wait until May hits or June and just start taking that walk a little bit further west, man, and you got 70 degrees and sunny the whole time. But, you know, Charlotte was a good city, but I just don't understand
you
why.
You can't be sending all the homeless bums to the West Coast, man. They're overcrowded. They're overrun by homeless people. They don't know what to do with them. I mean, I know there's options that if, you know, if everybody wanted to pay a little bit more, they probably could do something with them, but they can't take no more. There's just no more room for the homeless people.
If you a bum, ain't no rules. Ain't about you can't send nowhere. I'm not sending them nowhere. I try to give them a dollar or two when I see them. But if you a bum, you might as well just take your shot. Get the step in.
All right, before we move on,
like,
I got to say, I felt really bad.
Go ahead.
Oh, I felt real bad. There's a homeless lady who, like, I work at a law firm that's really close to, like, the court building, you know, the downtown area here out of St. Louis. So you got the court building, all the municipal buildings and everything like that. And she's always hanging out around the court building. It's a court building. It's like a prison, like, one block over or something like that. Or not prison, but, you know, county jail or something. And so she's always hanging out there. Older black woman, little heavy set, in a wheelchair, has one foot. And I always feel bad because she's a black woman, so I always want to help her. But every time I see her, I don't have any money. I don't carry that much cash with me at all, if ever. But it seemed like every day, because I always go to the same restaurant to eat my lunch. It's the only black-owned restaurant in the area. So I go there and I eat there every day. And I have to pass her every day. And every day, she look at me and ask for money. And every day I pretend I can't hear her because I got my headphones in.
Why don't you just tell her no?
I guess you need to fix that one day.
Uh-oh.
I feel bad. I mean, I probably do. I mean, because I don't, like, the first time or first couple times, like, sorry, I don't carry cash. But she still asks every day, and I guess I could tell her every day I don't carry cash. I mean, one day I'm going to get some cash, and I'll probably give it to her. But then I'll be feeling bad, like, because, you know, there's a lot of lawyers around, judges and everything. The news is always out there. And one day I was walking by, we made eye contact. She asked, I ignored, and sure enough, two white ladies was walking in the opposite direction, walked up, stopped, talked to her, asked her if she needed help, how can they help her, and I'm like, God damn it.
And it had to look bad as hell.
The black man and one black woman and two white saviors come and try and help her out.
Yeah, see, that's why John Gruden should have kept his job. Look, shout out to my mom. My mom's listening. She wanted to say her comment was Hawaii has a big homeless population. That I understand. Well, like, if you're going to be homeless, like, if you got like $700 left to your life, and, you know, after this, it's a wrap. Buy a ticket to Hawaii. You know what I mean? Now, if you get homeless while you're in Hawaii, I can also understand, because it's not like you can get out. But you're on an island. Like, you're on a chain of, like, you just can't swim. Like, if you're in Denver, you can start walking to L.A. It's going to take you a couple months, but, you know, you in St. Louis, them white people walked all the way from Virginia to St. Louis. What's it, Meriwether and Clark? Clark Kent? Lewis and Clark and Mayweather?
Yes.
You know what I mean? They made that walk. Why can't you, bum ass, walk to L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
Meriwether Lewis. Yeah. Walk your bum ass to L.A. Just not, and I'm not even saying the negative. I just want you to be have a good night's sleep. I don't want you to freeze to death. So you can make it from Denver to L.A. But if you're in Hawaii, like, you just can't walk to L.A. Like, you don't have any other option. If you have $700 to your name, like if DJ C. Siren leaves me and I lose my job and I got $600, I'll take a flight to Hawaii and just live out the rest of my days on an island and just hope Pearl Harbor 2 doesn't happen. That's it.
It won't be Pearl Harbor 2, but are you – I guess if you a bum in Hawaii, you're really a beach bum, right? But you have to be.
Beach bum gun.
I mean, I think you have to be. I think by definition, you are officially a beach bum if you're a bum in Hawaii. If you're homeless in Hawaii. Homeless in Hawaii, you're a beach bum.
Because the only thing you got to worry about is, I mean, you go to sleep on the beach every day. You can take a shower every day, just walk in the ocean. And it's not like, you know what I mean, what are they going to do, arrest you? It's 3 hots in a cot. It's probably a good day. You know what I mean? I guess the only thing you got to be fearful of is, like, if you go to sleep on the beach because you want, like, the cool air, if the tide comes in, you could be out of there. If you got a good night's sleep and that tide comes in,
thank you.
It might be a wrap. But, yeah, so shout out to the homeless people. I don't think I gave any homeless people money this weekend. And I think it's only because I didn't really have any cash on me.
Hold on. Again,
but, you know.
Before you move on. I think we got to stop giving homeless people money. Like, again, because I work in the area. I see the same homeless people. I see the same, like, they got their job as a stand in their spot. They got their designated spots. Like, if I give you money one day, am I supposed to give you money the very next day, too? Like, I feel, I mean, even if I do have it, like, if I'm in my car and I got loose change, should I give you all my loose change knowing I'm going to see you tomorrow at the same time at the same place? Like, how often am I supposed to give you money when you're standing out there with your time?
Hey, now we're getting into some deep dives. Old school, if you want to jump in, feel free. You too, DJ C. Siren. But, you know, you don't have to give bums money or homeless people money. But, like, they also, like, have every right to ask you every single day, right? But, like, should homeless people get vaccinated? Like, should they be forced to be vaccinated? Like, if you're going to ask people for money every day, and I can't guarantee you got a fresh mask, I feel like they should be forced to get vaccinated. We should be running around stabbing homeless people for. Because we know they're not the most sanitary, right? And I'm not even, like, with the whole, you know, you should be forced to get vaccinated, even though I think being vaccinated is smart. Homeless people, they probably should be, like, you should be able to just walk by and be like, yo, I get $100 to get vaccinated. I wonder what their rate would be.
Yo, you ain't even getting $100 to give everybody. I think the homeless people should be like, yo, you at risk for me to take this because, you might not make it to a hospital. And if they send you home, they send you right back out here to the street.
Go ahead, jump in, old school.
There's so many layers of homeless folks. I see the folks that have reserved spots on the exit ramp on the highway, young, able to work, and I'm like, no. I don't feel like they need any handout. They didn't go to the job corps and go stand there and wait, do some day labor, go make some money. But the handicapped person, they get dropped off to that location by somebody.
You don't think they roll over there?
I don't know how to work that.
Nobody got the joke.
I got it, man. But it was a poor taste. It was poor taste.
They see we rolling,
right?
Hey, shout out to the handicapped folks. Hey, my man, New York, Georgia, New York.
Moving on,
bro. We talking bums.
Oh yeah, well, definitely. You heard when the world was opened up back then. When I was going through DC, I did see one of a disabled homeless person. I don't know if he is homeless or not, y'all be, but he'd be out there at 5:30 in the morning every time I'm going to work, y'all be. And if I stopped at the red light, I strike up some conversation. Y'all be, I give him $1 or something, see how his day going. But, man, it is chilly. It is chilly. 5 o'clock in the morning in November, December. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you might as well just walk to Miami, yo. Hey, got my brother, got brother Bentley on the line. Bentley, the big body Bentley. On 22, what's going on, my brother? Welcome to the off-ramp, man. We talking homeless people, man.
They have some unfortunate situations. If they're out there grinding, they're grinding. I can't say that I always be tipping them, but every now and again I'll tip them, but I never talk bad about them or be shaming them or nothing like that. Got to be human because that can be you at any time. You never know when an unfortunate situation can happen.
Yeah, if you're shaming someone who's on the street asking for money, then you're just a different type of individual. But you got to look real bad for me to give you. You got to look real bad for me to give you money. Like I take my son to play sports, and it's this one off ramp that always has homeless folks. And they usually look bad. So I'm like, man, you living at the beach. Like, you like 5 blocks from the beach. But, you know, I give you a couple bucks. One dude had on, I swear he had on a pair of Yeezys.
Mm.
And I was like, yo, I ain't giving him nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, sometimes they be faking the funk. Sometimes they be faking the funk, and they really got a car, and they got a house, and they – That's a real little hustle for them, and that's a little some walk around money for them at the end of the day. So I mean, I've broken my rule is to give one person a day that kind of money, and I broke my rule one time, and I tipped them two guys within an hour. I gave some money to each one of them.
Oh, okay. Now, do y'all think homeless people should be vaccinated? DJ T-Sire, you think we should run around stabbing them? Do you think everyone should be forced to be vaccinated? You think everyone should be forced to be vaccinated?
I really don't.
You think everyone should be forced to take birth control? I'm just wondering where your limit is. Like, how Nazian are you? I was having this conversation.
And number two,
I gotta have this talk about white people too. Because I had a conversation with white people about how black people are predisposed to murder. And I was like, well, what about Germany? That was whites killing Jews. And they said that Jews aren't white. And I said, Yeah, that's a whole other discussion. that's a whole other discussion. But you just reminded me of it, so I got to write it down.
The white people are the ones doing it.
I know, but we'll have that conversation later. But you just reminded me.
And they did it before in Africa.
You see what I have to do? But she never listens to me.
Because they're the ones.
Oh my God. Okay, Black Panther. Should homeless people be? Should they be forced to be? Given the vaccine. In your opinion.
They should be happy to get some.
So yeah, your answer is yes. DJ, she's not on one tonight. She's been angry the last couple of days.
I don't really care to talk about vaccination.
I know, but I just wonder about the homeless population just because, you know, they're homeless.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of groups of people that try to get the homeless population vaccinated because of, increased risk. It's not like they're just in distance or things like that, you know, on the street, and, et cetera, et cetera. Poor health. High risk.
I don't understand why we don't do that with it. And I'm going around. Blur, I'm coming to you next. But you just gave me an idea. When they were rolling out this vaccine, why don't they just start stabbing all the bums with these medicines to see if it works or not? Is that like that inhumane?
Yeah. You can't do that. You have to.
I mean, you got to offer them something.
You have to volunteer. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some people that do volunteer for the police, but they can't just turn them up in the truck and do that.
I mean, Like Blur said, West Coast has a huge homeless problem. If we took all these vaccines when they first came out and it was like, yo, we got to do some trial runs, we don't know if this joint is going to work or not. If you say, yo, you homeless, yo, I give each of you $1,000 to try out this medicine.
Because they don't have to get – you'll have more people volunteering without having to give them $1,000. People volunteer for clinical trials.
But I think bums, I feel like you get like a million people.
You want to make sure it's people that's being seen by a doctor because you want healthy volunteers. You don't want anyone on the street with any kind of health condition. Not saying that if you're on the street, you're not healthy, but
right.
It's not like you're checking your health But most times you need healthy, you need to make sure that they're healthy people. Like, these are people that are, you can't have just anything going on with your...
Right, okay. I see what you're saying. You want to have, okay. Blair, what you think? You think we should force the bum population to get vaccinated?
I don't think you should force anybody to get vaccinated. I mean, especially the homeless community. Why take advantage of them because of their circumstances? Don't force them to do nothing. But, I mean, explain the situation to them. I'm pretty sure they'll be happy to get vaccinated because they're happy to get anything. I mean, give you these 5 pennies. Yeah, you going to take that? And give you this shot for free? Yeah, you want that too? Cool, here you go. I mean, can't force it, but I'm pretty sure they'll be happy to take it.
Okay, old school, what you think? Old school, you got us on mute?
I was on mute, I'm back.
Yeah, he asked me to.
On that topic, if they get vaccinated, it's all about choice on that one. Like, you know, we even got like real rich folks that won't get it, right? So,
I got a question. I never chimed in on these things. I always I'm walking and shaking my head. So, you don't want to get vaccinated, but yet your ass gets sick. You're in the hospital and you're required all this emergency, treatment. Because you did not get the vaccine. How is that right?
Right. Oh, well, now that's just the discussion on the vaccine in general. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at that. I mean, it's the same thing if I say that you don't have insurance if you go to the hospital. Should you not get seen?
Well, that's
it's tough. Like, are we just going to let people who aren't – I mean, God looks after dummies, right? Like, shouldn't we?
The vaccine is free. I haven't found anybody to give me a reason that makes sense why not to get it.
Vaccine is not really free. The government is still paying for it. That's a way for the drug companies to get rich.
Okay, fine. It's not coming out of your pocket. Not coming out of your pocket directly.
It's my tax dollars.
You know what?
Yeah, some insurance rates when people
it's
have to be on
the team.
Yeah, you got to tax it, Brother Bentley.
I mean, that's why all your insurance rates are going up, because people are having to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to be treated, and because they have to be on ventilators.
Insurance rates are going up because the insurance companies are greedy. It's just like when the gas prices go up, all of a sudden you have a small spill, and then now it's $4 and $5 at the pump. That's not really an impact on the supply chain. What's going on right now with the supply chain, as far as delivering goods, is a real issue, but it's only temporary. But also the transportation companies are finding a reason to raise the rates, and they'll probably stay higher and overinflated for a little while. But it may not even go back down because they have the opportunity to raise the rates on you, because there's no real good economic reason for it. It's all a game.
There's different. You're not paying for this vaccine is not going to increase your what you're paying for in terms of taxes so much more that you don't think other reasons that is affecting this pandemic is going to affect your pocket, and just targeting this one thing and saying, oh, that's why everything is expensive is because of free vaccines is kind of ludicrous, because like you're saying, there's so many different things that impact this and that will impact taxpayers, your pocket, your insurance, et cetera, and trying to say because the government has supplied a free vaccine, then that is the only reason. It's not true.
Should we blame ludicrous and fabulous for us learning those words wrong? Like, you probably should have known how to spell ludicrous and fabulous before the rappers, but because they've both been so popular, like, the words ludicrous and fabulous probably get spelled pretty bad pretty often.
You think people are spelling fabulous F-A-B-L?
Yeah. F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S. Hey, New York, New York, should homeless people get vaccinated? Hey, shout out to old school's wife. Love you, cuz. Happy belated. Feel free to jump in any time.
Me?
But go ahead, New York. Should homeless people get vaccinated?
Look, definitely get vaccinated. You heard. Still a pandemic out here. You know what I mean? I don't think it should be forced, but still go ahead, get vaccinated. Your choice is your choice, but, you know what I mean, make a small one that aligns with you.
Okay, and all right.
How to keep up with them? No, they're going to come back.
Say that again?
I'm sorry, we're having a sidebar conversation talking about so homeless people get vaccinated. Vaccines require two shots. So what are the chances of them coming back for their second shot? And keeping up with the cards.
Blur says he sees the same homeless person on the street every day. I feel like we can run out. I feel like they can't get too far if they're homeless.
The homeless people got a pretty strict schedule, man. I ain't going to front. They be on their – it's funny they ain't got a job because they be on point. They get there when they supposed to get there. They there until they not.
If you get the J&J like me, you only got to get one shot.
Oh, man.
Get the nigga vaccine. Get the nigga vaccine.
Oh, my God.
That
only takes one.
Yo, I know we weren't supposed to talk about the vaccine tonight, but I will say this. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, especially with the whole Kyrie Irving thing. And I don't know if it's already been proposed, but I don't think it's long before we get to the point when we start holding individual people liable for the medical bills of people who they may affect. Like, if I'm vaxxed and, Gun, you not, and I'm here, and it's like a high probability that I got it from you, I should be able to hold you liable for all my medical bills and try and collect that from you. I think that's the future. I think that's how we get this. I think that's how we resolve this. Like, all right, look, I'm back. I'm doing my part. You're not doing yours. It's a 85% chance that I got it from you. Through contact tracing, it looks like I got it from you. My respirator, whatever, all that. My ambulance ride, my medical bills, all that. Shouldn't go on my insurance. It should come directly from you and your insurance.
So what if people are raising some badass kids that they make? Should they be liable for that too? That's
what you mean, like
a Pandora's box. Like if your kid commits
kids
a crime,
that can't get vaccinated, or kids that
no,
can't
I'm talking
get
about kids that are just bad in general, and the parents made them, and they're not rearing them right. Should we now sue the parents for that too?
I would not. That's kids.
That's different.
They charging parents for the kids doing dumb shit too. You know what I mean? Just think about it as a kid, you know what I mean? You ain't got a secure gun in the house. You know what I mean? A kid commits a crime, they charge the parents with that.
I mean, I don't disagree with it. If you can't be a responsible parent and you can't raise your kid right and they're out here committing crime and killing people, you should be held financially responsible for it. So I don't disagree with it. It's just a whole nother glide path you can go with that too, I'm just saying.
Hey, old school wife, you go ahead and jump in. I want to give you your own nickname. Tell my cousin to text me your nickname. I'm going to give you your own nickname. But go ahead and jump in. I hear you in the background trying to jump in. But go ahead and jump in.
Like I said, I just keep on walking and shake my head. I just say, get vaccinated. That's all I got to say.
I agree with getting vaccinated. I don't know where the liability comes in, though. Like, you can't, like, unless you can prove that I'm the one that gave it to you, pause. Like, I'm not liable. I feel like any good lawyer would be like, yo, you can't be sure. They've been somewhere else, you know, just because my client
contact tracing. But through contact tracing, you can do that for a certain degree. I don't know if we can get 100%. I just know that because I'm actually working on a case like that now where I had to get contact tracing records from an employee at the state who did die from COVID. So I know they can track down where you're likely to have gotten it from. But like Ron Rivera, coach of the Washington football team, he's at high risk. I think most of that team is vaccinated. What if he had brought a Cam Newton who said, yo, I'm not getting it. Now I know I'm going to be in close proximity with you. We're going to be in locked rooms or in small rooms for quarterback meetings or whatever. If I get it and I have an adverse reaction to it and I'm in a hospital, through contact tracing, I know I've been at the facility 12 hours, 19 hours a day. 95% of the people in this building are vaccinated. You and four other people, I've only been around you. Hey, we could draw a straight line to how I got this.
I don't think
so.
Because people could be asymptomatic and be vaccinated. You could be asymptomatic and be vaccinated and passed on to somebody as well.
Yeah, but I think most of the time, if you get it, you get, like, testing. And I think you're only going to find liability for the people who don't have it. Like, I mean, for the people who don't have the vaccine. Like, all right, he got the vaccine. I got it and got sick. We've all got tested. You the one who have it.
I disagree with that because the people who have the vaccine could also be asymptomatic, so they can be carriers and not have any symptoms. But and you can pinpoint it on somebody who you say is not vaccinated as the reason that you caught it. That's not right. And I'm vaccinated. I just know that wouldn't be right either.
All right. Hey, can we talk about something a little bit lighter, like John Gruden? Because we got a guy coming on here talking about Bitcoin a little bit. So I'm gonna get to John Gruden.
Are y'all racism, homophobia, misogyny? That's a lot lighter.
Guy who got fired from emails 10 years ago for being racist comments and stuff, right? 10 years ago, those emails.
Yep.
And did he get fired or he resigned?
Well, technically he resigned.
Oh, he was forced, huh?
But they said he was forced out. So,
for emails from 10 years ago, is that how he is today?
I don't know. I mean, if you're racist 10 years ago and you're over 30, are you still racist? Like, can you not be racist past, like, once you're racist at 40, I've always said this, right? My grandfather hated white people, right? I didn't understand why. I had, you know, white friends growing up. Hey, watch out background noise. Somebody doing something. But my grandfather hated white people, right? I didn't get it, but it is what it is, right? But I understood why he hated white people, because of what was done to him by white people in the 60s. That stuff didn't happen to me. I didn't have the same level of hatred. Cool. If you told me, I don't think my grandfather could ever come off that racism, right? I can understand if you're young and racist because you were talked about it. I mean, you were taught by your parents. But once you become an adult, if you're blessed enough to go to college, if you get in life, you have to socialize with people that you normally wouldn't. If you're fortunate enough to leave your community that you grew up in, I still wonder why you can still be racist, because you meet fucked up people of all colors and creeds and races and religions. Like, ain't no shade perfect, right? But if you're 40 and you're racist, I don't know if you're changing that 50.
Well,
I think
that's
pretty
much dry at that point.
Right. You know what I mean? It wasn't like when we say 10 years ago, it's not like we're looking at our kids or like these kids in college and like, well, he said that on Twitter 10 years ago when he was 13. Like, John Gruden was like 50, like 60 when he was using these terms and describing black people in racist ways. Can I say he's not racist now? Is it impossible that he might have changed? Probably not. Is it impossible that he's not racist? I don't know. Maybe it's just, I mean, when you say that kind of stuff in a room full of white people, it makes me think you're racist. But, you know, black people have gone to bat for him. And maybe he's just an opportunist. What is that word? Oh, DJ C.
Opportunist.
There you go. I kept adding that shit.
Blur, you added all types of T's to that motherfucker.
I know. Opportunist. Obviously, that's what white people see. It's these big lips. Look, and I had a whole thing about I didn't realize, like, the whole white people and lips thing. Like, DJ C. Siren pointed that out to me. I had no clue about lips. So, all right, Blur, what'd you think of the John Gruden situation?
It's weird, because, like, I do believe people can change, which is why I don't believe anybody should be fired, canceled, or severely disciplined for something they did 10, 11 years ago. like, was first reported, like, his first emails about DeMar Smith was, you know, 10, 11 years ago. So I'm like, all right, yeah, fucked up. Take responsibility, own it. Like, yo, that was me then. I mean, it was fucked up for me to say, but I don't feel like that any longer. Cool. You learn from it, you apologize, you grow. I mean, so from that aspect, yeah, I don't think you should be blamed for that or, you know what I mean, banished for that. But clearly we see that his behavior and he didn't change. Like, he just continued on up to fairly recently, from what I understand. Like, just like a year or two ago, he was still talking that BS. So, yeah, man, I think, I mean, you get what you get when you act like that. You got to understand that the world has passed you by. You a 58-year-old man still acting like you did when you was 18, like, you know what I mean, 40, 50 years ago. Nah, I mean, times have changed. You got to change with the times. If you don't, you're going to realize there ain't a place for you in modern society.
Yeah, if he was talking like that a year ago, then I agree. But my point was, like, this was 10 years ago. I mean, you still shouldn't have been describing black people as dead and using gay slurs and using black slurs. But if it was 10 years ago, like, 10 years ago, times was a little different. And he got fired today because times are different from somebody did 10 years ago. But if you saw a report that he was still talking like this a year ago, then that's a little bit more recent. But I don't, it's kind of crazy. Old school, what you think?
I don't know. Glenda over here had a whole lot of stuff to say.
That's my name, Glenda. That's my name, Glenda with an I. Glenda.
Glenda and Glenda with an I. I like it. Glenda with an I. What'd you think of the John Gruden situation?
I don't know. It's like it just popped up, and people change. Yes, they can, but I think it would take something pretty tragic and close to their heart to change, especially if you're of that age. But if he just got fired or released or whatever, if these emails are from 10 years ago, where have they been? Have they always been under investigation? Did they just pop up?
I mean, it came down like a scandal or something, like, you know.
I mean, like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, how did it get surfaced?
So they're doing an the reason why it came out is they're doing an investigation on the Washington football team for a hostile work environment. It's funny because I know a cheerleader from the Washington football team. So they're doing this investigation on that football team because there's a lot of, you know, sexual misconduct allegations between the owners, the GMs. So during this investigation, they basically seized all the emails. And, like, look, I love white people, right? But this is white privilege that is finest. Why do y'all talk this shit on company email? Like, there's anything that has the company's name on, you should leave to the company. But I guess they felt that comfortable because, you know, if you know the owner, if you know the people, you feel like you can't get in trouble and you're above it. But I don't know why anybody uses
that white privilege
company work stuff. Yeah, so that's how it came out, because when they see the emails, and as they're going through the emails, they saw John Gruden and all these people calling black people and gay people stuff. Well, describing the commissioner as a gay slur, which was really crazy.
Wow.
That again.
Oh,
that
now
got,
you want to say gay slur, but just 10, 20 minutes ago, you were just letting the OT fly.
Look, I thought it was a British cigarette, faggot. I thought it was the same thing. I didn't realize that it was just a fag. Well, no, because I'm not talking about gay people now. I'm talking about British cigarette. I misunderstood what a British cigarette was.
It's not a British thing.
So I don't want to get canceled because I would never describe gay people as that. But, okay, so New York, what do you think of the John Gruden situation?
I think, like y'all say, I mean, I don't understand why people feel so comfortable doing that on company emails. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand it. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not an advocate for this shit. You know what I mean? But don't put that shit in some written documentation, B. You just asking for it at that point. You already know somebody going to save it. They just waiting for a rainy day. You know what I mean? Oh, you cross me? Oh, these emails getting leaked, B. You know, you already know them emails are saved. That shit is in a database. That shit is in a server. You know what I mean? Don't be doing that dumb shit. You know what I mean? Especially, I understand that 10 years ago, you know what I mean, you probably could change, but nah, you doing that shit all the way up until, like, you know what I mean, a year ago, 2 years ago, nah, you asking for that. Go ahead and resign. Go ahead and get fired. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, this crazy. You crazy.
Bentley?
He's just a dumbass. And then I'll say this. I would never put anything like that in writing. I barely even want to say anything on this line because I feel like it's recorded and they'll bring it back in 10 years on me. And
never.
You know, and I'll say that. If any of you know me from 10 years ago or from now, yeah, it's plenty of stories to tell, but I'll say, were you there? It's going to be my question. You ain't going to never have nothing on video and never nothing on writing on me. I'm going to ask, were you there is the question. You need to be physically there. Otherwise, it ain't true.
Right. Okay. DJ C-Sire, what you think of John Gruden?
Are they trying to say that he's not racist now? He was only racist 10 years ago?
Well, he said that he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. And it's funny because he said he doesn't have a racist bone in his body after the first initial comments came out when he was describing the NFLPA as having big lips. And he tried to say that, no, he describes black people. He describes people having lips like Michelin tires because everything bounces off when they're lying.
Right.
And it's like, oh, man.
It's rubber lips.
Yeah, it's like you're just making it worse. Like, you're true. Like, you know, it's just like, come on, dog. You just made it worse. But he said he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. But there are people saying, like, look, I've known John Gruden to be two-faced, say one thing, do the other. But I've never known him to be racist. And these are black people saying that. So, like, the shit that he was talking in the emails but smiling to these people's faces, he said, that is John Gruden. He's a two-faced guy. But he's not racist because he's done a lot of stuff for black people. His black players felt like he's always.
But the thing is, I mean, and unfortunately, this is kind of a category a non-person of color always falls into, which is these levels of racism or levels of prejudice. And if you're not denying a black person alone or in with the Klan or skinheads or, you know, shooting up churches, I'm not racist. You know, just because you talk to black people, it doesn't clear you from being racist. This is levels. Like, that's his email is just innately, when you talk about a black person, if you want to say something derogatory, you're going to go with these racist sayings. I mean, and that's just who he is as a person. I think it's all, you're subliminally racist.
Right.
Because that's what you're going to say, something racist when a black person pisses you off. It's the same thing. You are anti-gay because when somebody white, you can't say nothing black about them because they're white. Well, you're gonna say something that you.
But we talk about their lips too. But see, I think that's the problem that no one is saying, because, you know, like, I make fun of white people, I make fun of black people, I make fun of Asians, I make fun of Hispanics. But they're only to my friends who are white, Asian, Hispanic, like who I have a relationship with. I don't get on an email with a bunch of black people and talk bad about white people. At least I don't think I do. I mean, I don't want an email to come back. At least I don't think I've done it since I was like a kid, and even then it was still a joke. Like, that's the thing. Like, when you start saying these ignorant things about black people in a room full of white people, it makes you look racist. It'd be one thing if you said it to one of your friends as you were joking and the guy recording. Like, nah, that's how we joke back and forth. Some people still ain't going to go for it. But if that friend was like, nah, I make fun of him because he doesn't have any lips all the time. And it's weird that John Gruden was making fun of a black person's lips and he got herpes. And I don't, you know what I mean? I don't want to, I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not here to judge anybody. But, like, that man been having that bump on his lips since we've known him.
My thing is, yeah, he's in a room full of black people and he ain't gonna say, yeah, with your Michelin lips. And this ain't because you're a liar. Like, no, you're not going to say that because you know that's not what it means. Like, you're not talking about black people's two big lips that are too big in order for black people. You're saying that for your white friends or your people that think it's funny because it's racist. And you know that. Like, he's not doing it.
So we all cool with John Gruden getting fired? DJ C-Siren, you good with him getting fired?
You know, the only thing I think that people are pointing out that I'm agreeing with is that, you know, it feels like, you know, they're a little low on the totem pole. They got John Gruden, but we really need to know what these other emails are saying with people that was actually targeted. These Washington football team emails to the people that are still leading this franchise. Well, clearly.
Yeah, but Monty Jones said that they were in the emails, and I don't know if it's come out officially yet or if it's still part of the ongoing investigation. Part of the emails is that these dudes were sharing naked pictures of these cheerleaders through the email. Which to me is so...
Which they said Groovy is doing too.
Which is... Why are y'all using the email? So, okay, so you're still good. So I can't wait for that shooter job. I hope my homie... Shout out to my homie. I'm not going to say your name, of course, to protect you, but I hope they ain't got naked pictures of you running around. But Blur, you good with the firing?
Yeah. Again, I'm good with the firing. I do think we all have to like give people room to grow and to change. Again, John Gruden's talking racism about 10, 11 years ago, but then he had sexist comments about women in the NFL hiring women as referees. Then his gay comments were the ones that were about 2 years ago. I mean, again, he called the commissioner the British cigarette.
British cigarette.
I mean, a couple of years ago, but then he was talking about a gay player just a couple, like 2 years ago. So I think that's the most recent
What's a British cigarette? What's a British cigarette?
Fag.
Oh, did I say the wrong? Yeah, did I say cigarette or cigarette? Yeah.
Cigarette.
Yeah, the F-A-G. Yeah, that one.
Okay, I got you.
Oh, it's so cringy. But, yeah, that was just 2 years ago, so.
I don't think so.
Just real quick, Blur. Isn't that the name of a yogurt, Fag?
Faye.
Okay. Blur? Look, I love gay.
No, I'm, like, so, yeah, I mean, I think if you got a history, and I think that's what it comes down to, if you got a history and you haven't shown any remorse, because I think he probably could have got out of this. Like, he was just so flippant and entitled, like, yo, I'm not racist and I'm done talking about it. Nah, homie, you don't get to tell us when you're done talking about it. So, I mean, if it was just that, if he had showed remorse initially and then all his other emails came out, he still might have been able to hold on to his job. But to what DJ C-Siren was saying, there is levels to it, and I think that might be the problem is that some people give passes out. I mean, I hate to bring this up because I like the locks, but Styles and Sheik said that white people could say the N-word in front of them, or at least certain white people. Now, the podcast that they were on and they did do with these two white dudes, they were like, nah, we ain't going to say that. Like, nah, around us, you can say it. Now, if you say it around the wrong people, you might get your ass whipped, but around us, you cool. And I'm like, that's a slippery slope.
Can they say nigger or nigga? It's a difference. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it depends on who you ask if it's a difference.
Have you seen the video of the teacher that says nigger and nigga? Because he said that. He called the student. He said, what's your problem, nigga? He's like, that's more like saying bro or homie. There's a YouTube video of it. It's really funny. It's really funny.
Yeah, I remember when it initially happened. And it was actually on the news, like the live news.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, he tripping. But now people give out passes. Like when Chris Rock was cool with was it Louis C.K.? It was Louis C.K. or Ricky Gervais saying nigga in front of him. And it took Jerry Seinfeld to speak out. I'm like, yo, that's not cool. Like, y'all can't say that. And they're like, yo, we say it in front of Rock all the time. I'm looking at Chris Rock like, yo, you a clown. Like, you done lost your way, homie. You just gave him an open pass to say it in front of you. Now they say it on camera. Now they say it in their set. So, yeah, you just letting things slide. It's a slippery slope. That's how stuff get out of hand.
Yeah, see, but I think it also depends on the relationships. Now, look, I have a bunch of white friends, right? They can't say that to me. Like, it's going to be like we can be friends afterwards, but we're going to tussle. But you ain't gonna call me out my name like that. I don't care if you're joking. I don't care what. Like, don't even say it in the song around me. And I got a ton of white friends. but I think they, I think all my white friends understand where I'm at, and I'm unapologetically black. Like, nah, don't be saying nigger around me. I don't care how cool we are. That it's not something that we're gonna have. We're not gonna have that discussion, right? But if you have a white friend in your close, like in Chris Rock, Louis C.K., like if Chris Rock is like dismantling, I mean, these are professional comedians. If Chris Rock is dismantling white people in such a bad way, and Louis C.K. got to sit there and take it, but Chris Rock says, nah, you could dismantle black people how you feel. Like, that's just between us. And that doing it on camera was a little wild. But if there's their relationship, like, I can understand it. But if Louis C.K. said that in front of, like, me, I'd punch him in his face, and I'm not going to give the – he can't – the excuse of I stayed in front of my black friend doesn't work. But I can understand if they had that relationship. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know if I look at Chris Rock as a sucker, but that is
– I think I've looked at him as a little different ever since. I think he's always had a little – I mean, he lost a little bit of his shine. Like, I mean – nah, he always looked a little off.
I never looked at Chris Rock the same after he played, what's it, Pookie, what's it called, New Jack City? Never looked at him the same.
Early Chris Rock.
That's early Chris Rock, man.
That's all we knew. That's all he was.
That's good acting, man. You ain't never like no crackhead.
Nah, it's different. Shut up. It's different. It's different, man. He took down the whole operation, B. Started with him.
Yeah. So in the last time, before we get to our Bitcoin conversation, because I got one of my buddies calling and he wants to discuss Bitcoin tonight, and I want to have that conversation. But before we close out this topic, the other blaring circumstance. Oh, Bentley, did I get to you? I didn't mean to skip over you. Did you have a chance to comment?
No, I'm in the shower, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. But the other glaring thing is that people were upset that, you know, when he said the black comment, you know, he was defiant. I ain't got a racist bone in my body. And it looked like there wasn't going to be any discipline. It didn't look like he was going to get any trouble. He had to answer a couple questions, but it wasn't going to be an issue. But then when he chose the gay comment, you know, then it became, oh, now he must be fired. So people are looking at that like, yo, why is it that black people are always getting the short end of the stick when it comes like, why wasn't his firing be discussed when he clearly used a racial epithet describing a black person? But when it came to the gay comment, like he was just describing another white man at using a homosexual slur. He wasn't even talking about a homosexual. He wasn't even talking about a gay person. He was just using the slur, and that got him fired. Do y'all see any credence in, you know, the difference between the penalties for a black person versus the gay community and the strength the gay community has? Blur, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really applicable in this particular case. Like, that's the whole narrative of the Dave Chappelle stand-up. I mean, like... yeah, they are treated, they have better treatment than the black person. But I don't know if that's the case here because, again, it's always, I guess in every situation, there's nuance to it and the devil's in the details. His comments about a black man were over a decade ago. So, again, in my opinion, you give someone a little bit time to breathe. You let them, all right, we'll look at that, but that's not a fireable offense. Then you start adding everything on, and it's not like he says something black about a black man, oh, you cool. He says something about a gay slur, you out of here. Nah, everything else came out all at once. So he was talking about women, gay people, I don't even know who else, but he ran the whole gambit. Like, it was the black man first, and then it was everything else all at once. So you can't say, oh, now you're talking about gay people. Nah, we got to get you out of here, because he didn't talk about just gay people. We don't know if it was the gay one, if it was the homophobic one. I mean, the one about the chicks and, I mean, all that, one about maybe it was because he had naked, topless women, topless employees sending emails about him. Maybe it was that part. Or maybe it was just the whole thing all together, like, nah, you're doing too much. So there may be a case for that in certain circumstances. I'm not sure if it really fits this one in particular, though.
I don't even know if I want to go to bed because he's in the shower. I feel like you shouldn't. I feel like you should. I feel like it's. I don't know if phones can electrocute you. But Bentley, you got anything? All right. Since you're taking a shower, I'll just let him hop back on later.
I think there was, like he said, Dave Chappelle, I brought a good point. That Taliban and gay contingent got a lot of, they got a heavy stick, and they get you fired and sued in a heartbeat now. And it shows that we not really united in our efforts, so don't have the power that they have. We're becoming third-class citizens. Maybe fourth behind the Mexicans.
Hey, Mark Sanchez is on. Speaking of Mexicans. New York, New York, go ahead.
I really don't got too much. You know what I mean? I agree with the people that went before me. There's my exam.
Okay.
The same exact sentiments.
All right. DJ Cesar.
What's the question? No, I guess it's just, I don't know. I guess I get a little peeved off. Like, people are, like, annoyed that because he did the gay slur, that's why. I mean, and perhaps, but I think it still would have made noise and it still would have at least, you know, been upset. But that doesn't make me feel like, oh, that community shouldn't be outraged and get a response too, you know. So I'm okay with it.
Okay, and I got one last question and one last comment before we get to Brother Dave with Bitcoin. Blur, why do we act like the black community is different from the gay community? Like, black people are gay too. That's the only problem I have. Like, when it comes up to black versus the gays and which community is strong or anything, like, isn't it more common sense that the gay people be stronger just because gay people come in all shapes, sizes, and colors? It's not like it's like a black gay community is stronger than the black community. Like, the gay community at home is just stronger just because everyone in every shape is gay.
So well, I don't know if that really fits. I mean, in the Venn diagram, you have black, and then on another circle is gay. Then I'm pretty sure there is some overlap. Some black people are gay. Some gay people are black. But I think as far as whose circle is big, I think there's probably more black African-American people here in the U.S. than there are gay people in the U.S. I could be wrong. I think they said, I was listening to, you know, I probably shouldn't get my news from ESPN, but I was listening to ESPN today. Is there something like one in six person identifies as gay, you know, LGBTQ+. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm assuming there's more black people than there are gay people. But I mean,
I wouldn't think it's close. How many white people there are? We're not going to have this math conversation. But, hey, let's have that discussion. Let's have that math discussion next week. man, it's amazing.
Yeah, let's table that because I got an idea on that. Yeah, let's table that.
Well,
let's
go
table
ahead.
That.
Hey, just make it clear here before we get to Bitcoin. Do you think there's more gay people than there are black people?
I have to do my Googles, but I mean at the same time, we gonna table that. Let's table that. Let me do my Googles first, and we gonna get back to that.
And it's almost everywhere. Homosexuals.
Yeah.
Well, I won't get into
that. Because at the end of the day, you know what I mean, if you think about it, the people fighting for, if other people outside of black people fighting for our cause too, we should get some anti-lynching laws or something. You know what I mean? We don't deserve a hip-hop history month. Like, you know what I mean? But we going to table that. We going to table that for next week.
Okay. All right. DJ Cesar. Like, if you eat ass, you gay. You in that gay part of the circle. Like, you don't have to be all the way in the circle, but you, like, on, like, with the ledge. Go ahead, DJ Cesar. Do you think there's more gay people than there are black people? Like, just what do you think? I just wonder.
No.
You think there's more?
Well, a quick Google search says about 16%. If that number is correct, one out of six, 16% of the U.S. is gay. 14% of the U.S. is black.
identifies as black or African American.
Wow. I told y'all there's more gay people. Just because everyone's gay just makes more sense to me.
Yeah, yeah, there's more people. It's a bigger population.
It's a bigger population.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that close, though. MX, are you on? Point you on if there's anything you want to discuss before we get to Bitcoin. We got about 5 minutes.
Real quick, I think that number is a little skewed. I mean, like, you know, when you're born, you put that on your birth certificate, whatever, you know, what race you are, right? There's a lot of people that have not come out. That are
what about the
I think that's part of it. It's like who identified. I mean, they're openly part of the LGBTQ. So it actually could be a lot higher number if you, I mean, take
that's
into consideration, I guess, closeted people.
That's what I'm saying.
What about the people?
I think the number is a lot higher on the gay side.
What about the people that identify black and they don't look black? Where do you put those people?
But if they identify as black,
either gay or you're not gay. I mean, you're born a certain way, right? So, you know,
nah,
are we talking about like identify or?
There's a whole lot of people. I thought it was like either you're gay or not gay, but there's a whole lot of people who it ain't really that simple for them either. Like people out here, I thought it was a great joke by Dave Chappelle. I know people get offended, but like the impossible pussies and the beyond pussies because like they're changing the sex. I thought it was a great joke. I don't know what's so offensive about it.
It's terrific.
No, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it without you.
Well, he definitely watched that. Like, don't let him lie to you. He watched it. Like, don't even try to pull that. I heard you just gonna throw that lie out there to your wife, man. You watched it. Don't front.
I guess my point is, you know, people come out, you know, how old is what's Bruce Jenner? How old is he? She, or Caitlyn Jenner? She's what? In her 60s? Just came out.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of people that haven't come out. So how
and
do you
I
put a number
really
on that?
Like
I guess my point is, how do you put a percentage on that? You know, how does Google put a percentage on that? That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I didn't read the exact, like their background and how they came up with that number. But, I mean, when it just says identify, and I'm pretty sure they got notes and bullet points of what they mean by identify. I was just assuming something like the census or something, but I mean,
Google
if
knows.
Sisters, then they probably could do
Google
that.
Knows.
They probably could do that.
Google knows.
Anonymously, so it may be some people who haven't come out publicly, but still identify themselves.
Facebook tells everything.
So people tell Google, but they don't come out. They just tell Google.
Yeah. We got.
Actually, hold up, guys. Before you move on, I went into this interview. I want to remember dude's name. I think he's like an old school judge or old school media dude, like a TV judge or something. And he was talking about on the Breakfast Club. I'll have to look up the interview. Talking about they got machines that'll tell if you're gay or not or what your sexual orientation is just by watching your eyes when you come into a room. And they were clowning him, like Charlamagne. They were clowning him, like, come on, man, ain't no machine to say if you're gay or straight. But I think it is. I think like AI and predictive behavior algorithms are so strong. Like, they can tell a lot by person. Like, if you walk right into a room, a crowded room, and the first thing you do is look at a man's butt, you might be gay. I mean, so I think they do have a way of probably predicting or having, like, some really good analysis or data to say with a certain degree of certainty, like, yo, you walk into this room, the first thing you do is look at this dude's crotch, you look at this dude's ass, you look at this dude's lips. You're 95% gay. I mean, I think they got to... I mean, it's not hard. I mean, Google, Facebook, whoever developing that type of algorithm and machinery, I'm pretty sure they might know.
Yeah, but that's
oh
sucks,
man, you're smoking some good stuff
in,
over there, man.
If I walk in the room and I'm just staring at everyone, like all the girls' tits, and they get that.
I ain't gonna lie, dude. I want whatever you have.
like now I'm a creep. So it's like that technology scares me. But, all right, so, look, we got to get to Bitcoin tonight. I got my man Dave on to talk about Bitcoin tonight. So before my last comment is just I know Urban Meyer is happy as hell about John Gruden. Like, we got off to Urban Meyer getting a lap dance real quick.
Because I think that was a non-story, but all right.
Look, his arm was down, right? his arm was down in between his legs while he's getting a lap dance. You know what I mean? It don't count. It don't count. It don't count. He ain't do nothing wrong.
I like that. That might be the unofficial rule. I'm rolling with that. If your arm is between your legs, it don't count.
He blocked it. He blocked it. He never got the torque, B. He never got the torque, B.
Anybody got anything left before we go to my man Dave? To talk about Bitcoin. Extra fat dude, y'all all on. If y'all got anything, y'all can jump in now before we get to this.
I didn't even know you hit the unmute on me.
Yeah. I got y'all live.
I didn't even know you hit the unmute on me. Just a quick thing, when y'all was talking about the gay thing, only thing I can say when y'all was saying like the population of it, it's mainly the people in high places, Hollywood, the music business, all the people with money. That's where it comes from. The people with money, that's where they at. So that's where the heat comes down from.
Okay. And Max, you got anything?
So.
Nah, I mean, I missed the whole conversation, so I'm good.
Okay.
All right, where Bitcoin at, man?
All right, I just want DJ C. Simon, you good? You good? All right, Bitcoin, so. Yo, hey, man, good topic, good discussion, man. A lot of activity tonight, man. Funny discussion. So, Dave, man, welcome to the off-ramp, man. Glad you could join us, man. I know me and you had a conversation and wanted to discuss Bitcoin. It's been in the news a whole lot. I know you heard some of the conversation before, so if you want to have a conversation with that too, you're always more than welcome. But Bitcoin's been in the news a lot. All these electronic fake money is what I call it. That's killing the earth, but it's worth a whole lot of money. They've been in the news, and people are wondering if they're good investments, bad investments, is it real, is it not? I know you're interested in the subject, so I'm glad you're able to join us tonight, man, and want to talk some Bitcoin. So feel free to introduce yourself, and let's get this conversation going. But you got to talk for at least 30 seconds or blur. Make sure you got some questions. Yeah. Go make another drink.
Hey, can everybody hear me fine?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll start by saying this is not financial advice, and that this is also the first time I've ever kind of talked about this, so if it doesn't come out coherent, then just don't have me on again.
Are you a financial advisor?
I'm not a financial advisor, and this is not financial advice.
give a disclaimer because that's what they do by trade, and they don't want anything that they say reflecting on what they do.
Exactly.
Right.
And things get recorded and stuff, and I am a random dude. I'm buddies with Jason, and I'm by no means an expert in any of this stuff, but I've spent a good bit of time just trying to wrap my head around a little bit of it, and so this is again kind of my first dialogue on it outside of other people who just don't want to hear anything about it. I'll say a quick story. The quick story of how I got into it was basically, you know, y'all remember when we got, you know, some stimulus checks. We have four kids, and so we were like, wow, this is actually some money, and at the same time I got a raise at work. And so I was just like, man, I guess I can like save money. And so then I was just like, okay, well, I also want to, you know, I've got some hobbies I like doing, and I've been a huge computer kind of nerd growing up. I built some computers when I was, in college, and I wasn't ever really a gamer, but I put some together. I just liked the mechanics of it. So I was looking at building a computer, and I just came across like, hey, you know, you can also, if you have a computer that can run games, you can use this thing called a graphics card in your computer to mine cryptocurrency. And I had no idea what any of that meant, but I saw that there were dollar signs. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll just see what happens. So I, on this computer that I built as like a stimulus check present for myself, I started just running this program. It just pops up and this script runs, and suddenly I was able to, you know, make a couple bucks every day. And so I was just like, you know what, this is what the infamous passive income, if you will, right? And so I was like, okay, well, I will, I'm going to get more of these. So I built a huge system that's running, that's jacked up my power bill, but, you know, pays me like 30 bucks a day, in money. And what's interesting is that, again, still to the extent that I could explain it at the time, this was probably, you know, this is several months ago, I couldn't have told you like anything about it. All I knew is that I was nerdy enough to build the thing, and then it was putting money in my account. Now, what made it interesting though is that the money it was paying me in was Bitcoin. And so I was just like, well, why? And so that's kind of where the curiosity kind of came in. And so I started really kind of diving into like, what is this? What does it mean? What is it? What, like, is this just like, am I participating in a black market or a gray market or something like that? If I am, word. But if I'm not, then like, that'd be ideal. Cause you know, somehow our people get found out whenever that happens. And so, it kind of just took me down that path. And I kind of look at it as like, you know, okay, well, if this is going to be, is this just not going to be cash in my pocket, but like an investment, what do I do? And so I just started looking at it and, yeah, it's been a real interesting kind of dive, but you know, I don't have a, there's no great way for me to just dive into talking about it. And so, you know, if you guys, you know, have thought of any questions or heard anybody else say stuff about it, like, you know, maybe we can just have a discussion about that.
Okay. I got a question for you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Have you so you were getting paid in Bitcoin when you started mining? Did you cash out any of your Bitcoin, or are you just keeping it and hoarding it? I don't say hoarding; that sounds bad. Or are you just holding on to it?
Yeah. No. So I originally had all intention to cash out, but as I was researching it, like, you know, first of all, Bitcoin is, it's not like cash, right? It's what they call a commodity. And so if I ever cash out, then it's a tax event. I get taxed on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if they were paying me in a stock. So if they were paying me in Apple stock and I decided to sell that, then I would have to register, like I'd have to pay, it's called a short term capital gains tax, which is pretty high. But if I held on to it for a year, then, you know, I can, after a year, that tax percentage goes down. And so, but the intent after a while was like, okay, well, I'll just hang on to it for a little bit. But, you know, as of this moment, I'm holding on till forever. So, but yeah, great question. Great question.
Anybody got anything else before I ask? Well, one other quick question, because that's what I think from my understanding. And it's funny that's how you got your start, because I found out about Bitcoin specifically and what it was like a couple of years ago. And I also was thinking about building a computer just for mining it, but I was told, and I didn't really do much more than a quick, like, 10-second Google search, that the cost of mining it wasn't worth what you would get in return from mining it, unless you put, like, a lot of money in. Like, I've seen people build, like, underground silos and storage facilities dedicated just for Bitcoin mining. But it sounds like you're doing all right. Like, it raised your – what you got if you cashed out? Like, it raised your electricity bill, but you're holding on to it.
You're exactly right. So if you were going to mine Bitcoin directly, unless you're independently wealthy already or have some connection over in China, then, like, you know, you're not going to get the equipment. Not even a matter of if you could afford it in a lot of ways. It's a matter of can you get your hands on it. And so what I started mining was actually it's running to mine Ethereum, which is another cryptocurrency that has a whole nother use case. It's a whole nother thing. But the program that I was using paid out in Bitcoin. Does that make sense? So it wasn't that I was getting paid out in mining. I wasn't mining directly. Even though I was participating in mining Ethereum, the program that I was running or that I am running pays out in Bitcoin. And so it's not a, it's as if I was, you know, working for somebody and I said, hey, I'm going to pay you in pesos instead of dollars. And for some reason I said, sure.
But I'm confused.
But yeah,
how can you, okay, so you're mining for Ethereum because Bitcoin is, it's an ending of a commodity, right? There's only a certain amount of Bitcoin that's out there. So how can you mine for it? Like, is it hidden and people got to find it? Like, I'm confused on the whole mining process because it's not like you're blowing up the cave.
Zeros and ones. So, zeros and ones.
Yeah. So the original, so what's kind of cool about this is that the creator of Bitcoin in particular, they call this guy Satoshi Nakamoto. They don't know who it is. They don't, could be a guy, could be a girl, could be a they, could be a group, consortium, who knows. But they created this program that essentially says there will only be 21 million of these things called Bitcoin. And for you to get these things, you have to apply computing power to solve problems. So out there, there are what miners are doing is that they're solving complex problems in order to essentially to excavate these Bitcoin. But what's actually happening is that, so that's a way to kind of like think about it from a physical standpoint. But what's actually happening is that they're keeping the network alive by providing it's providing its own rails for money to move one place to another. So think about like when you go to a store, right, and you swipe your Visa card, like that information goes somewhere, right? Like, because it has to get to your bank in some form or format, right? So it goes through the internet, goes through Visa network, so on and so forth, eventually gets contact with your bank. Takes like 30 days for things to actually truly settle. But what happens is that, you know, these miners are actually, they're providing the railways in a similar way. They're providing the network for money to move. And so by providing that network, they're getting rewarded in Bitcoin. And only so many Bitcoin are released, according to this algorithm, every so often. Does that make sense?
No, because it's not money.
So what's money, provide... Jason?
Okay, so I understand that, right? So money at this point is just digits on a screen, right?
Yep.
But when
it's ever since 70s, money's been digits on the screen.
Right, right. So, but the money is backed by, well, American money is backed by, you know, basically the government's debt, right? Bitcoin isn't backed by anyone's debt. So how can someone open a gateway for money to go through if it's not backed by any money?
How is the right? So I would challenge you on one thing, and I would say that my understanding is more so that our money is backed by our faith in the government. There's really, you know, the debt's kind of out of control. so we kind of hope that it's really not truly backed by the debt. Now, Bitcoin is you're absolutely right that its use case is the notion that, hey, you know, it exists insofar as much as somebody's willing to pay for it, right? For whatever that amount is. But like, again, like what form of trade is it?
That brings me to my question.
No, go ahead. We're just talking.
All right. So that brings me to my question, and I understand there was like a run, and I guess there's always ups and downs in any market, and you know. But from what I understand is that Bitcoin itself, and you may not even know, has slowed down. Like people are just holding it, and I think doesn't that kind of erode interest in it, because everybody's like, I can't get it. Nobody's selling. You got people with million-dollar silos mining for it, so me trying to mine for it isn't going to work. I can't buy it. The price keeps going up because, you know, Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase are willing to pay $1 million for it, and no one's selling it. Doesn't that erode interest and then devalues it? Because, like, at some point, people are like, look, man, nobody's selling this. I don't want it. I don't care about it.
So do you, from your understanding, so I'll say this, is that you don't need, like, I couldn't buy a full Bitcoin, but I can buy parts of a Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, it's like if you're investing on certain platforms, they allow you to purchase parts of shares, right, of a company. Like you don't even have to buy a full share. So if, say you go on a Robinhood account or something like that, and you say, I want some Apple stock. Or some Amazon stock. Amazon stock's what, $3,000-$4,000 a share? You can buy like half a stock. And so it's the same kind of notion, is that you don't need to enter the market by buying a full Bitcoin. You can enter it by buying a part of it.
Well, that's so the if you think, I think of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's like kind of what I think is like what the difference between stocks and Bitcoin, because there is, stocks can always be provided. Like Amazon can just say, hey, we're making more, like they'll do a split or whatever, and they make more stocks available. If there's only 21 million Bitcoin out there, and let's say, and I don't think there are, but let's say all 21 million Bitcoin are out there and they're all owned by people. That means they have to be willing to sell parts of theirs or sell off their Bitcoins in parts or in whole. And if no one is doing that, like, doesn't that just, like, erode or get rid of the interest in Bitcoin? Because, like, somebody has to be willing to sell what they have in order for someone to buy it.
Yeah. So it's actually worse, right? So there's probably actually around 18 million of those 21 that will ever be inserted, that will ever be possible. Because you have to think, early in the day when it was just kind of a game and people have lost their Bitcoin access, before you could go and download an app and just and buy some through an exchange or a broker, I mean, this used to be something where you had to have like your own you know, personal hard drive, if you will, and that's where you kept the access to your Bitcoin. You kept your own password. They call them keys, right? So the notion is that there's actually fewer than 21 million. But what happens – so I'll ask you, let's think about real estate. What happens when all the real estate in New York's bought up? What do we see?
The price goes up.
Does the price in New York go down? No, it skyrockets, right?
Or you see gentrification. Well, depending on where you want to take the conversation.
Right.
I understand
so,
what you're trying to get to.
In Manhattan, right, when somebody puts up property for sale, they're not selling it for cheap. And so because eventually they're going to want to sell, right? They're going to want to liquidate in some form or fashion. Typically
But before you go out, this is the problem I have with these type of comparisons, because New York City, you can live in that place. So you understand that real estate. You understand that market because that is property, that's land. It's a tangible good that you can live in and that you can stay in. Bitcoin, you can't do anything with. But buy, like, black market.
So I'll take you to – so there's this thing, and this takes a whole – there's a whole other arena of this that – so there's this thing – money can be split into different layers, right? So you can have a foundational layer. It's called layer one money, which is, you know, once upon a time that was gold for the U.S. And then we had layer two, which was cash, right? So cash could move back and forth. So it's you couldn't carry around like gold and be like, hey man, like you want to trade? I'll trade you this gold nugget for, you know, a soda. But you know, you could do that with cash, right? You can enter it into a, put it into a drink machine or whatnot. But with Bitcoin, there's the same thing going on, is that Bitcoin, there is the layer one Bitcoin that, seen as a store of value, which is basically, yes, you're absolutely right. You're not really going to do too much with it, so on and so forth. But there has been, and this is one of the things that kind of sold me on it, even most recently, is there has been a huge development with what's called the layer two, to where money can be moved using the Bitcoin network and settled nearly immediately with nearly zero cost. So think about it this way. Again, like you go to the store, you swipe your Visa card, right? Visa charges a merchant, 2.5-3% for Visa to take on the liability and everything to run it through the bank. And with it takes about 30 days for that money to truly settle, right? So let's say, you know, you use Bitcoin network. You can transfer that money on these layer two networks nearly immediately at zero cost. Like, what corporation doesn't see that as valuable? Right? Like, if you're Costco, if you're Walmart, like, hey, like, there's a use case there, right? Like, I could say, if I'm a multi-billion dollar industry who likes lifeblood, like, how many people now do you see using cash? Very few. So if my lifeblood is electronic transfers of funds, and I can settle that immediately at very little cost compared to the 2.5%, like that's a dream. And so, you know, it's that kind of stuff where just like when those use cases start coming up, like honestly, I had the same kind of questions as you. It's like, is this one of those things that like we all just kind of think is really cool now and is going to be kind of useless later. But when stuff like that starts happening and like Twitter, now you can tip people over Twitter or they're working on, they've already integrated it with some people, but it's a slow rollout. But apparently it's turning into OnlyFans, but yeah, I mean, it's just crazy how, you know, these kind of developments are happening over the network. But yeah, I mean, I would argue that there are legitimate use cases. And we haven't even gotten to, like, the biggest deal, like, about what's in my mind, what was my initial sell on this, and that was, you know, this whole thing about inflation. And so I guess my question, I've got a question for you guys. Have any of you guys been robbed before?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Yeah. So I've been robbed before too, and I viscerally remember like that feeling of being like, I got robbed. And then like you almost can't explain it because you feel kind of violated, you know, like they like looked at my stuff and then took it. Yeah, I mean, there's that too. That's a good thing.
When you say robbed, do you mean like somebody broke into your house and took something, or do you mean by
somebody broke into your house,
get on your face,
broke into your car? No, I mean like not arm robbery, but like that would count.
I'm
too.
Glad
same,
you just took my pizza. I got robbed for a large Domino's pizza.
That's hilarious. I want to highlight that because you know what do you know, like I'm going to ask you a question. So before COVID, before all of this thing, true or false question, that every year your money devalues 2-3% every year, period. True or false?
Yeah. I mean, well, it depends. If you're talking about depression, I mean, it's false. It's false. I understand what you're trying to say. It really depends on the American government and if we're going through a depression or if we're going through basically a surplus. Because if you compare what a dollar was worth when, you know, the end of Obama, the beginning of Trump versus the end of Bush, end of Clinton, you know, that money is kind of flipped in terms of how much it values.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I want, like, we use the Google machine I've heard on this podcast, right?
Blur uses so it. Look, Blur likes these androids. Blur's an android.
Blur. Let's look up the average U.S. inflation per year.
I'm on it. I got it. I can tell you this. I got money still in my shoebox. I still use the shoebox bank, the Nike Orange Nike shoebox bank. So I got
all right.
I got bail money and other money still in the shoeboxes. And you're telling me I'm losing 2-3% in spending value with my shoebox money.
You still owe me
every. At best, in 2015, you only lost 0.12%. That's since 2012. If you go back, the next lowest, in 2009, it was 0.34%. Now, keep in mind, this is what's called a CPI index. And CPI is the consumer price index. So essentially, it's a conglomeration of, you know, of things that they've decided, you know, play into what your purchasing is. So, again, since 1989, at best, in 2009, according to this, you didn't lose money. You actually, it's negative 3.4%. So you might have gained a little bit of money. So the next lowest is 0.12, which was 2015. And then since then, you went up to 1.26. And then 1.55, and you had maybe 1, 2, 3, and this is again from 1989 to present. You've hit a couple other one percentage And then otherwise, it's 2, 3, 4, 5%. So regardless of your shoebox, let's say you did better than your shoebox, right? Let's say you put your money in a savings account. Like, what's the average savings account percent? 0.03? I mean, if it, I've never gotten better than maybe 0.02.
Yeah, it's low. Savings accounts is not a great place to keep your money if you wanted to earn money. But if you just want to save it, I mean, yeah, over time that money becomes less and less, but at least you still got it.
But I think what we're missing, though, it's not that the money comes less and less. It's just that the goods that we're buying are getting more expensive. The money's not going as far as during the time.
Right.
So, would you agree to the statement that your purchasing power is decreasing?
Well, yeah, but that's the factor, though, right? So the dollar is the same, right? But the price of a loaf of bread being 25 cents back in 1950, now it's $2.50. Well, then now that dollar, even though it's the same dollar backed by the same U.S. government, right, and insured by the FDIC, just isn't going as far as it is that 50 years ago.
So how are you not getting?
I'm just saying it's relative. That's all my point.
Yeah, I mean, it's decreasing, though.
because it's literally costing less.
Like, it's not, I don't think it's terribly costly. Go ahead.
I'm not disagreeing that the value of the dollar has decreased, but I'm saying it's relative to the price of the goods that we're buying. Right? Like that same New York where you just talked about, we're buying a property in New York. Well, if you bought that same property 50 years ago, compared to what you're going to put it on the market for right now, well, it wouldn't be the same price, right? And your dollar would, so that's what I mean. So, and if you bought it 50 years ago and sold it today, well, then you can't tell me then I lost money because I'm going to make a hell of a lot more money, right? So it's relative to the market that we're in right now. So it's not so black and white, I guess is what I'm saying.
So if you bought that house in, back in the day, so real estate is one of those things that has a velocity that can escape this, right? So you're absolutely right. That the notion is that, okay, clearly savings isn't the way to go, right? Because you moved on away from the savings notion, because if your money's in savings and you try to apply that same money, you're going to have less of it. With real estate, a lot of other investments, so on and so forth, you can escape that. And so there's a quote that says, rich people or wealthy people invest and – how does it go? I forget. But the notion here is that investments are the tools to escape that inflation. And so, does that make sense?
Yeah, because you want
to. I think
your
the saying is like
working.
Poor people spend, rich people save, wealthy people invest, or something like that. I think that's how it goes.
Yes, that's exactly how it goes.
Because you want your money to keep working in the market so it goes with inflation. Whereas if you just keep your money in a savings account, it's not going with inflation. You're absolutely right. If you want your money to increase, then find an investment that increases above inflation and you'll be good. It's a lot easier said than done.
And that's where this all kind of collided for me, was that what the heck do I invest in? And if I were going to start investing. And, then you start getting into all the shenanigans of the market. And that's not my area of expertise. I tried to figure something out, and I was just like, I guess I'll just trust my retirement here I'll just keep putting a little bit more in there. But I was like, man, like, is there any vehicle out there that's a little bit, you know, better? And the one thing, like, I can't ignore, I couldn't ignore over the last, you know, 12 years of its existence was Bitcoin. Like, all the other cryptocurrency stuff, I was just like, I'm not touching that. But Bitcoin's main goal was to essentially replace gold as a store of value. And so that's, again, it's not like some, it's not a real sexy kind of, you know, appeal here, but the notion was just like, hey, if I can put my money somewhere that, A, isn't, like, I don't have to worry about a business getting run into the ground or some shady Wall Street person, then, like, you know, I'm gonna go for it. And so, you know, at the end of the
why are you putting your faith in the person that you don't know is a boy or a girl, less than a shady real estate person?
Because
at least
I've
you can
seen
find
the
shady they ask.
No, man, can you? What happened in 2008 when all that shady real estate stuff happened? Did any of them go to jail? No,
A lot of people committed suicide, so supposedly.
Hey, that's on
sure
them. That's on them. I didn't. That's on them. I didn't get anything from their suicide. Like,
look,
that was.
I'm not saying Bitcoin is a bad investment. I don't know. You're educating me on a lot, and I actually appreciate what you're saying. I'm just wondering your mindset when it comes to, hey, this shady real estate person versus Bitcoin, where you don't even know who the person is. Like, why,
I don't
like,
need
why
to.
Is your
faith- It's a network. I don't need to. I don't need to know who the person is. They can't control it. It's out of their hands. The network is completely relied upon. The health and the existence of the network exists on the millions and millions of people who are running the program.
That kind of was my other question. And Gunn, I do have a question for you because I think you keep touching on, like, the tangible aspect or the value of Bitcoin. So I'm wondering if you believe in, like, buying art or, like, just high-end art in general. But you've been going, I had another question for you. So it sounds like your belief is in the network being used by banks and other things for processing transactions and other stuff. Because I'm wondering, like, you've been mining Ethereum or whatever, you're getting paid in Bitcoin, you haven't cashed it out yet, but you're spending money every month on your electricity bill. What do you do when you wake up next month and everybody like, nah, that was just a wave. We passed Bitcoin. We're not on that no more. Nobody's buying or selling it anymore. Like, I would feel sick, but I know it's not likely to happen, but does that even come out, like, even in the back of your mind at all?
So what you're talking about is risk, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, there's a risk inherent to what I'm doing. What if the U.S. decides it's going to do what China did and just say, hey, you know, you can't do that anymore? That's a risk. And I think that's the nature of investing, is that, you know, there's an, like, where's a market where there's no risk? If you can find it, but then you're getting robbed. Like, so, you know, I agree with you that it's and the notion here is that, hey, you know, I would never say don't have a savings account, because at the end of the day you want to have some level of liquid asset, liquid money that, you know, anything goes down with your investments or whatnot, you still have a little bit of something, right? So this isn't, I'm not a person to say, hey, you know, every cent that you have, put it into Bitcoin or whatnot. You know, My wife and I were in the kitchen today, and we looked and we realized part of our glass, one of our kids had broken our window. If all my money was in Bitcoin, it'd be a pain in the neck. I'd be paying, like, I'd have to pay tax on that money to take out to pay for this window. But at the end of the day, yeah, I think that as an investment vehicle, you know, the notion is that, you know, you never invest more than what you can lose, is what they say.
Shit, that's how much money you get.
That's a personal, yeah, decision for everybody. But yeah, it's just something that, you know, if this was 2017, 2018, the price is going up, 2017, 2013, the price is going up, and there it was, like, back then, I don't know if any of y'all had heard about it back then. I had, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And mainly because, like, it was just randos, right? But now, I mean, this is, like, corporations are putting this on their balance sheet. You know, this is, it's displacing gold in a lot of ways. Like, the institutional investor is seeing it as taking it seriously, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And hey, in my mind, once they start, I want to be around for whatever that is.
Hey, we only got about 3 minutes left. We got to have you on to talk about this some more because I still have a ton of questions. And I'm going to open the floor, but we only got about 3 minutes. The question I want to really discuss with you, just to get your quick opinion on, is, so what about, like, you running your power bill up and, you know, the mining for Bitcoin basically destroying the earth? What's your opinion on that? Especially because your wife is trying to save the earth. Like, I feel like y'all might have to have a discussion.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I think it's so interesting I heard you guys talking about some other stuff earlier and how there's, like, nuance. And I think that this is the same thing, that it takes energy to create anything, right? I'll tell you, at this point, I'm still blowing out my profits are exceeding my power bill considerably. And so, you know, okay. That's works fine for me. In terms of it destroying the earth, the power's not, I don't think I'm robbing anybody of power. I don't know if you know this, but I mean, most power plants are making excess power. And so that power doesn't get put to use. I don't know exactly how that works, honestly, but it's just, it doesn't get used. And so, you know, in many ways, like, you know, if I'm able to, I'm flipping it. Like, I'm using it to power a monetary network that can essentially help make things more trustworthy and better. And that's kind of the
You should go solar. Then now you're putting power back into the grid, so that essentially pays for that power bill, and now you eat more profit.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of these miners. So mining was a huge thing in China, right? So a lot of the concern, and another reason why I didn't get into this earlier, was that China's got doing. Okay, I'm almost done. Is that China's doing all of this, right? They've got the main notion. They've got all the miners, so on and so forth. China banned it, and so now the U.S. is the biggest, has the biggest mining platform. 35% of the Bitcoin network is being mined by organizations in the United States. Now, what's interesting about that is a lot of them are public companies. And these public companies can't just go out. They're not just going out and, you know, starting coal mines. They're going to sustainable resources. They're using solar. They're using nuclear. They're using all of these things. And so And, you know, again, to your point, the more that these big players, like, to me, it's it wouldn't be – I wouldn't have a return on investment. Solar's so expensive that, you know, for me, like, doing a, my own personal thing, like, it's not going to be worth it in my mind to move to that. But for these big companies, that's what they're doing. And they can it helps them get better investors. It helps them politically. And they can still, you know, they can still make a good profit. So I think the notion of it destroying the earth was Elizabeth Warren's rant, and that was some BS. but yeah, I mean, it's a I think a lot of things have even changed in the last couple of months with it. But yeah.
All right. Well, we got a close up shot, man. We got about a minute and a half left. Anybody got anything else they want to ask Brother Dave? And Dave, we'll have you back on next week or the week after to talk some more, because I find this interesting. I still got a lot of questions that I wrote down I didn't get to. But anybody got anything left for Dave before we get out of here?
I just want to say I am a hater, and because when I first heard about Bitcoin, it was like used for like Backpage and stuff like that, you know, sex trafficking, you know, sex work and stuff like that. So I stayed away from it. And since I missed out, I kind of wanted to fall apart and fail. I hope you don't lose any money, but I am playing on your downfall, so the next thing that pops up, I could be on the ground floor.
Hey, man. It's got to go tremendously higher for me to, like, really, you know, have a hoorah moment. I got in super late, but in my mind, I was just like, hey, you know, if it even performs a little bit like it did in the past, then – it's an okay investment. But not is I don't think it's fraud.
I don't see it going anywhere because Bitcoin is the standard for all the crypto out there now. So all crypto go as Bitcoin go. So if Bitcoin is dropping, all the other cryptos will drop. If Bitcoin going up, which it is, it's almost back up to 60,000 a share now. So everything else is going up because the low coin joint I got, I'm up $600. So that joint is moving. So
yeah, it's scooting, and again, it's because it's a fixed supply. Think about supply and demand, right? There's only so many of it. Just like again, just like Manhattan, it's like it's got to go up if people aren't just willing to just sell it for nothing. But yeah, no, Jason, I appreciate being able to, you know, talk a little bit about this. It sounds like some other people are low key in on this.
Absolutely.
I'm certainly not a pro. I don't have any type of platform, but I just think it's interesting, you know, and certainly, worth discussion. I kind of look at it like, you know, some people are like, man, this is kind of religious about this. And I'm like, well, you know, I am religious. And if I think about something, I want to know more about it. So, I appreciate it.
We got to close up shop and get everybody out of here. So Dave, thanks for calling in. Next week, we'll talk some more Bitcoin, or the week after we'll schedule something. I got to have you teach me how to get my PlayStation to mine for Bitcoin. But definitely appreciate having you on. so we're going to go around for last comments before we get out of here. Dave, you want to say anything to the people before we roll?
Yo, don't get robbed by your savings account.
DJ Seaside, anything you want to say to the people before we roll? Good night. Got my man Fat Dude. What's going on? Anything you want to say to
people? Not much, man. Yeah, man. Stop being scared and buy you some crypto, man.
Stop being scared of crypto. All right. MX, you got anything to say? MX, you got us on mute?
Nah, I'm good, bro.
All right. Blur.
He's on come.
So all the... What is that? Homecoming. What? No. So all the
to all the kicking the door boys, I was playing. I'm lying. I don't have my bail money in the shoe boxes. Don't even look there. Nah, it's all in crypto. I ain't got nothing.
New York, floor is yours. You got 10 seconds.
Look, always, you know, always proofread them emails. Be written documentation can be a downfall. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, you know what I mean? Don't even curse on them Zoom calls or nothing like that. Other than that, you know what I mean? They say dollar in a dream can take you far, but Bitcoin in a bean can buy you a car. Other than that, you know what I mean? Shout out to Adele, you know what I mean? She releasing a new album after 6 years. Other than that, you know what I mean? Stay vigilant, stay, you know what I mean? Masked up out here.
Well, man, we out.